Hello, hello, and welcome to episode 18 of Could It Be Podcast and our first episode for 2023. In this week's episode, I'm joined by Cara, who shares her story about breast implant illness. She also talks about her online business where she does sell the Kangen water machine. So if you do want to get in touch with Cara, I'll put her Instagram details in the show notes and I'll also share it on the Instagram when I post about this episode. Just a heads up about this episode, Cara does touch very briefly on her own experience with miscarriage and thoughts of suicide. So please be kind to yourself if you have experienced these and you are listening to this episode. You can reach out for assistance, friends and family, and obviously there are places like in Australia, we have Lifeline and Beyond Blue that you can get in contact with if you are struggling at the moment. So we'll jump into this week's episode. Here is Cara's story. Welcome to another very special episode of Could It Be Podcast. Today I'm actually joined by my very first fellow Australian BII advocate, Cara. Welcome to the show, Cara.
Thank you so much for having me.
No worries. And at the time of recording this, it's actually Christmas Eve here in Australia. So thank you for taking the time out of your Christmas Eve to share your story and be on the show.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here and I can't wait to share all things BII.
So first question we'll jump into is, what is your breast implant story?
So my story, I got implants 7 years ago and my reasoning for getting implants was, you know, to feel more confident, to feel more worthy. I'd been through a lot of shitty relationships and I thought, you know, implants will make me feel loved and worthy and confident. And little did I know that they wouldn't do any of those things and they started making me sick. I first experienced symptoms, I think about 3 months after I first initially got implants, and it started with gut issues. So that was a major thing for me. The gut issues, you know, they got worse over the years. I would band-aid the issues with supplements and going to naturopaths and having colonics and all that sort of stuff. And then it was shortly after I developed alopecia and then had to go on medication. And they initially said for the rest of my life. And I thought, nah, like, that's just not an option for me. And I thought it was from stress in my life. My hair gradually grew back, but then over the period of 7 years, it kept falling out. It was getting worse. And then I had more and more things happen. So as the years went on, like, I suffered depression and anxiety and sweating, brain fog, eczema, hives, inflammation, weight gain. And I'm a very, very active person. So I would always be training and I couldn't lose weight. Like, I was never big to start off with, but I just couldn't reach the goals that I wanted to. And then as the years went on, my gut issues became so bad that I had leaky gut. I had a miscarriage. I also was in hospital every month for period pain. So my hormones were so out of whack and it mimicked me having endometriosis. So I had multiple surgeries during that time for endometriosis and they kept telling me there's nothing there, there's nothing there. And it wasn't until after I had my implants out that all of that went away.
Far out. I had no idea. I think I've seen your reels where you do show the, like, you had a bloated tummy in your reels and that does look like an endo belly, you know, when you see women share about their endo belly. And I've had endometriosis myself, whether that was caused by the implants or not, like, I'm not sure, because I only read the other day that apparently implants are endocrine blockers, so they can cause all sorts of chaos with your hormones. So yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And I'm so sorry that you went through all of that. Look at you now. You're looking amazing. You're glowing. And yeah, such a change. And the fact that your symptoms sort of started at the 3 month mark, like, you do hear occasionally of some women having hip symptoms pretty early on. They normally say the onset of symptoms can start from 5 years onwards, but like within 3 months, like, that's just crazy. It's your body telling you straight out, like, get them out without you realizing.
Yeah, and it's funny you say that because when I had my surgery, I actually woke up and I couldn't breathe. So my implants, because they weren't even that big. I think they were like a D cup and they were pretty stock standard size from what I was told. And when I woke up from surgery, I couldn't breathe and I had a really bad reaction to the anesthetic. and my blood pressure dropped so much that I had to stay in for two extra nights. And they said to me, with my blood pressure, if they didn't look at me, they would think that I was bleeding out. That's how low it was.
Far out. So was that after putting your implants in, or is that after one of the endo operation?
That was after putting my implants in.
Right.
And I should have taken that as a sign that it wasn't the right thing to do. So after that, I think it took me about 4 weeks to fully recover. And then, you know, I could go back to the gym and do all that sort of stuff. But I think initially I thought, oh, maybe everybody goes through this. And as time went on, when my gut issues appeared, I thought, surely, like, I was allergic to everything. I was sensitive to everything. I ended up ordering this blood test from America. You could send your blood back over there and they would test to see what you're sensitive or allergic to. And egg yolks. So I couldn't eat egg yolks. I couldn't have wheat. I couldn't have barley. I couldn't have dairy. And then I got really, really sick a few years later, and I went to a naturopath and I did kinesiology. And I couldn't have so many things. It was just problems all the time. And then, you know, I ended up looking at photos. When I knew that I had breast implant illness, which was only this year, I looked back at photos and the whites of my eyes were gray. So it looked like I was dying all the time. I had really dark black circles under my eyes. My face was gaunt and hollow. I almost looked a little bit like an alien.
You see that a lot, don't you? Like when you Google breast implant illness, or you go onto Facebook to search for the groups, one of the first things you see is the comparisons of a woman's eyes right before the surgery. And then for me, it was like the same day, like within 24 hours, my whites of my eyes were white again. I'm like, oh my God, like I had no idea how used to the grayness and the deadness, like you say, like you get used to. It's just crazy.
Exactly. And I did, everyone talks about it, as you said. So when I woke up, the first thing I did was take a deep breath, because everyone says it will be the first breath of your new life. And I took a breath without being suffocated for the first time. And then when I got back to my room, I did the comparison of photos. And literally within the hour, you could see I had life in my face. And then I did one 3 days later, and I was literally glowing. Like my eyes were white, my skin was plump and glowing. My eczema had disappeared overnight, like disappeared. It was gone.
It's like, it just baffles me how the body is as amazing as it is at recovering from things so quickly. Like that's huge. Were your implants on top of the muscle or under the muscle? Can you remember?
So they were initially under. 6 months after I had them done, I was getting animation. So it's where the implant, as soon as you move your arm up, your implant rises towards your collarbone. And the option was, well, you can have them taken out, or we can put them over the muscle. And at the time, I was like, well, there's no way I'm getting them taken out. Like, this is for my confidence. I need these. You know, I have to have them. So then I had them over the muscle, and they actually turned into a double D then, because they were over the muscle. And then over time, I got capsular contracture as well. So I was getting a lot of pain in my left side. I was starting to get a bit of rippling as well.
Okay. Wow. Yeah, because you sort of hear the recovery from having them in over the muscle is generally a bit more like tolerable, but you had both. So like having it not long after, having them under the muscle would have just added to the recovery for you, I'm assuming.
Yeah. So I recovered so quickly. The surgeon was so surprised. Every time I went in, he was just like, oh, you know, you can go back to the gym at pretty much 3.5-4 weeks. But obviously I didn't go back to the 6 week mark, because I really wanted to give myself time. And it's not so much the healing, like I might have been healed on the inside and the outside, but it was more so the flushing out of the toxins and getting my body to adjust and things like that. So after trying to release so much, I wanted to give my body the best chance at being able to recover through that process as well.
Absolutely. So how did you end up finding out about breast implant illness?
So it started, I follow Georgie Stevenson, an influencer who owns Naked Harvest. Been following her for 10 years, I would say. And she had implants as well. And she had all these health problems. I think she had her Hashimoto's, which is an autoimmune condition. They said she was going to have to be on medication for the rest of her life, which, again, that's not what you want to hear when you're so much into your health and fitness and a natural way of living. And then someone said to her, it might be your implants. And I followed her whole journey and I was like, oh, you know, it couldn't have been. Like, I would never take my implants out. There's no way I could do that. They're a part of me. She got her implants out. She also did the comparison of photos. Massive, massive difference. A few months later, she went to go get a blood test for her autoimmune condition and doctors couldn't believe that it had just miraculously disappeared. Like, she never had it. So, and you actually can't, well, doctors say you can't get rid of autoimmune conditions like that. But when your body is flooded full of toxins and heavy metals and you're not eating and drinking the right things, that's how you get autoimmune conditions. So you can heal yourself. And then I went through a lot of personal stuff over the years. And when I got out of those situations, I was doing a lot of self-development. And I'm someone that will wake up and say, okay, I'm doing this today, or I want to do this. There's no thinking about it. And I'd been doing a lot of meditation and manifestation practices. And I did a meditation and I came out of it and I said, I need to get my implants out. They're making me sick. And it was from that moment I decided I kept getting sicker. So it was like the universe was like, yep, you've made that decision. Now we're going to show you that you're right. Like, you're, yep, that's right for you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it was literally that process. I decided in February this year. And I made appointments with a couple of surgeons. I had to wait until September. And I thought, you know, it doesn't suit me. That's not right. And I was working on so much self-development. I ended up going to my mum's house for the weekend. I ran into a girl that I hadn't seen for 5 years. She also used to have implants. I saw her and I said to her, you look absolutely amazing. What have you done? She said, I had my implants out because I got really sick. This was my gut. Look how bad it is. And I was like, that looks exactly like mine. She goes, go to this surgeon. He's amazing. He's in Box Hill. Called the surgeon that day and I got in within 2 weeks. It cut 5 months off the process. And then as soon as I saw him, I had surgery in 4 weeks.
That's amazing. It's like that visit to your mum's house and running into that old friend were just meant to happen. Like, you just manifested that. Yeah.
Yeah. It all worked out. And then, yeah, I did everything that I needed to do leading up to it. I just made sure I was in the right headspace. That's all I needed to do because it was such a big thing coming from someone that needed implants for people to like love me and look at me and to be confident. That was the main thing for me. I didn't care that I needed to get them out. I just needed to process it and to be in the right headspace. And yeah, I was 100% ready.
And going back to where you mentioned like the moment that you kind of realized that it was breast implant illness and that you actually started to really feel the symptoms and feel like you're getting more sick, the exact same happened to me. And it's happened with my previous surgeries as well. So I've had, you know, there's a previous episode on this, but I've had multiple ovarian cysts, right? And I'll know something's off. One of the times it was actually heart palpitations and that could have possibly been my implants, but it was also my body's way of telling me that I need to just start going to a GP again and having tests done. Nothing came back on my ECG. Everything was fine. But then a little while later, I noticed that I had that pain because I've only got one ovary and I had the pain in that side. Went off to get the scans and that's like, you know, could see that there was an ovarian cyst that needed to be removed. I've had some that were simple cysts that didn't need to be. But the minute I knew that that was a thing, I actually realized, and okay, I've been like shafting this pain off to the side for so long. And then you suddenly feel it and you suddenly feel the fatigue that hits you because of being ill. So yeah, and the same happened with me with BII. I read about it. I kind of pushed that to the side as well. I'm like, I can't imagine life without my boobs. Like, I didn't have any to start off with. I had tuberous breasts, so they weren't even a double A cup. And then coming across, it was a Facebook post. I actually reached out to the woman the other day just to say, hey, I came across your post like a few months back. You've changed my life. and yeah, just to let her know the ripple effect that she's had. But yeah, not long after I read about all of her symptoms, that's when I started realizing that that's what mine were, because we do kind of attribute those symptoms to like, oh, I'm in my 30s now, or you know, I'm stressed over this and my hair might be falling out. Like it's so easy to push those symptoms into a different kind of silo. But then when you realize that's what it is, it's like, oh God, you can feel it now. You know, it's actually that, and that's what's happening. So yeah, absolutely feel you there.
Yeah, it's definitely like you're in denial in a way. You don't want to believe that, you know, the only option is to get them out. And people used to say, well, you know, if it's the implants, then why are they the surgeons putting them in? Why are they allowed to do that? Shouldn't they tell you this? And it wasn't until recently I found out there's actually a black box warning on implants, which have been there for quite a number of years, and we're not told that.
We're also not handed the box, so how are we going to see like that warning too?
Exactly. It's crazy. And like my parents would always say to me, why are you tired? Like you've just slept for 10 hours. Like how could you possibly be tired? And yeah, it's just, there's so many things. It got to a point where no matter what I ate, I would break out in eczema. My eyelids would actually start bleeding because I would scratch them so much. I'd just have to go to bed because I couldn't stand to be awake and have that on my face.
Yeah, and like I've only said this recently, I recorded an episode with another podcast and they're sharing some stories on BII, and for I don't even know how many years, I can't remember when it all started, but we live this half life and you're like, oh, like for me, I'm stubborn, so like I keep doing things but it's not enjoyable anymore. And, you know, I sort of know, oh, okay, my friend wants to catch up for this big walk on a Saturday morning, but I can't plan anything the rest of the weekend because I'm going to be in so much pain and I don't know why. And, yeah, you just start to work around it and live this heart like, oh, there's just so many women that are experiencing that at the moment. And that's why we do this. That's why we share our stories, right, so that we're making sure that it gets out there so that, like, other people aren't having to live that same way.
Oh, 100%. And like for me, I totally agree. Like when every time I would get my period, so someone would be like, oh, do you want to do something this weekend? And I would actually go onto my app, my tracker, and I'd be like, oh, well, I'm going to have my period that weekend. And my pain normally starts a week and a half prior. So I'll probably be in hospital, or I'm going to be bedridden in pain, literally on the highest painkiller you can get, or I'd be in hospital on tramadol or pethidine for pain because I just couldn't bear the pain that I was in. And that led me to going to the Royal Women's. So I'd go to the Royal Women's, I'd have another surgery, and then they were like, okay, you need to get the Mirena for the pain. So that was, they're like, oh, it's a really low dose hormone, because I'm like, I can't be on any hormones, my hormones are out of whack as it is, because I thought there was something wrong with me. I can't have kids, I've got endo, I like all of this sort of stuff. Had the Mirena within 8 weeks, like I was almost suicidal, and I ended up in emergency because my body was rejecting it so much. They thought I was going to get blood clots in my legs. I had to have it taken out. Like my body was literally in fight mode trying to push this thing out.
All right, like spoiler alert, I'll be sharing an episode on my 6 month update, because I actually think we're about a week and a half.
Yeah.
Anniversaries, and the Mirena for me just did not work, but I'll share that in more detail. And yeah, I think, and like I don't know whether I should put this on the podcast not completely knowing the medical terms, but I think that the Mirena actually has a little silicone coating on it, which is where those hormones are released into your system. So if we're reacting to silicone implants or silicone on the coating of implants, if you had saline implants, you're going to react to it in a really sensitive area like your uterus. So yeah, like, oh, let's fix this issue by putting an unnatural hormone in your body. That was part of the reason why my doctor prescribed the Mirena. She's like, oh, it would stop you getting endometriosis again. But the pain that I was in because of my Mirena was worse than the endometriosis pain. Like, just baffles me. Was there anything else you wanted to sort of share about what you sort of did to prepare for surgery? Anything that you bought to make life easier? You know, a lot of talk about what kind of pillows people use at the moment. Anything that you could share with our listeners?
To be honest, I actually didn't do much. I initially planned to stay at my parents' for 3 days. No, it might have even been 2 days after my surgery because I thought, oh, I'll be fine. I ended up staying there for a week and a half, which I really needed because you still can't do any heavy lifting. So I couldn't even lift a kettle. But in saying that, I was able to wash my hair and shower myself within 2 days after surgery. I recovered quite quickly. Leading up, I worked from home for 4 weeks leading up to my surgery because being in Melbourne at the time, there was a lot of COVID going around. So I'm like, I cannot risk this. Like, this is my time to be healthy and happy. So I need the implants out. I just did a lot of rest. I stopped the gym. I wasn't doing any heavy lifting or anything. All I was doing is going for light walks, nourishing my body with juices, trying to reduce inflammatory foods as much as I could. And just, I think I packed my bag like a week before surgery. I was so excited.
Same. I started a week before and I had been doing the research through all of the Facebook groups, what I need to get, like the zip up bras. You mentioned not being able to lift heavy. I couldn't put my arms up for a little while. So having those zip up bras where I didn't have to kind of put my arms up was just such a blessing. And yeah, those Facebook groups are a massive help when it comes to like learning what to buy. But yeah, I packed a week before as well. It's just like, let's get this sorted. And I did the same. I'm very lucky. I work in a team where I said to my manager, look, I really need this surgery. I didn't actually tell my workplace what was happening because I don't know. There's still sometimes a little bit of judgment that's attached to implants. And I don't think my manager would have judged me, but I just didn't want to put him in that awkward situation. So he knew I had to have surgery. He knew how long I needed off for the surgery. But yeah, I said, look, I don't want to risk catching COVID. There's not quite as much COVID in Adelaide as there has been interstate, but there was still that risk. So I was like, can I work from home? I think for me, I sort of thought 3 weeks was a bit of a safe bet, 3 to 4 weeks, because then you get your, like, if you catch it, then you've got your week where you sort of had to isolate, plus hospitals weren't letting you in until another week after your symptoms or 2 weeks. I don't know. I was just like, yeah, I did the same. It was just, didn't want to risk having to reschedule because I already had to reschedule my appointment with my surgeon, which I was so upset about because of catching COVID interstate.
I think I bought a few jackets. Oh, I bought pajamas that were like buttoned up at the front. I just made sure that I didn't have to put my arms over my head too much. And then, yeah, that was really about it. I was really, really well prepared mentally that nothing was going to faze me.
Did you have just an explant or an explant and a lift for your surgery?
No, I actually didn't have a lift. So when I was about 22, I actually had a reduction because my boobs were like they were a bit bigger than an E cup and they were lopsided. So I had anorexia when I was younger and I'd lost so much weight and they were just, I just didn't like them. I was still recovering from that disorder and I'm like, I have to be skinny so I can't have big boobs. So I actually got a reduction and a lift then. So when I had my explant and my capsules removed, I didn't need a lift. My natural boobs now actually look better than they ever have, which is
Not
great.
me, not being creepy, but I've seen your bikini shots and they do look really
Oh, thank you.
good. So what have you found has helped you with healing after your explant?
So my healing, as you would know, I have a online business as well, and I drink really, really good water. So my Kangen water that I drink, I started that 2 weeks after my explant, and it's meant to be amazing for gut health and hydration of the intestines and the colon. So I started drinking that 2 weeks after my explant, and I actually saw that a lot of my gut issues went away. I initially had a really bad gut after my surgery, and I think that's because through the lymphatic system, everything needs to drain out and it goes through your gut and, when you go to the toilet and sweat and everything. So I think my gut absorbed a lot of the toxins and it was trying to flush it out. So I started drinking the water and my gut is perfect now. So I did that. I was having a lot of juices. I was eating really healthy. And I was also having turmeric tea as well. So that really helped with my gut.
And turmeric's really good for inflammation as well, I think.
It is, yeah.
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 Cool. Now, did you experience any detox waves? And if so, what were they for you and how long did they last for?
So I would say the thing that took the longest to go away would be my sweating. And I think, and also because I've moved to a hotter climate as well, so that probably doesn't help. So it's hard to say if that's really from the BII. But I would say I thought my hormones were going to take longer, but my hormones only took, I reckon, 2 months. And they were almost back to normal. And my periods are back to normal. So I could never go to the gym when I had my period. Now I can train twice a day and I'm full of energy, which is really good. I'd say the longest thing that has taken is probably the sweating.
Did you ever have any, this seems like a weird question to ask somebody, but it's a BII thing. Did you ever have any weird body odor before explanting? Because that wouldn't have gone well with all the sweating.
No, I didn't, which is really weird. No, I didn't. But I actually, now that you mentioned that, I did have really weird tastes in my mouth when I had my implants. So it was like a metal taste all the time.
Yeah, you do hear of that, like a metallic taste. I've only ever experienced that being on a certain antibiotic, but never with my implants. But the body odor I had was so bad. Like I'd shower in the morning, like 7:30 in the morning, go to work, and by 10 o'clock I stunk. Like I was using heavy duty antiperspirant deodorants, like in Mitchum's, and what's the brand that I was using? I don't even remember. I use a natural deodorant now. I still sweat a bit, but I've always been like, even when I was younger before implants, I've been sweaty. But I just like sometimes there's been a day where I've forgotten to put deodorant on and I didn't smell at all. Like it I can't believe the difference. Like for me, that was an instant thing.
It's so crazy. Like people don't actually believe until you start talking about it, and until you start telling them, like, that you can't just make this up. Like, and the only changes that you've done is remove your implants. So it's obviously from the implants.
Absolutely. And still, they don't recognize BII. So, kind of covered this already, but just kind of, I guess, to wrap it all up into one question, how long did it take for you to see improvements in your BII symptoms? And like, we're almost explant twins. So, you've just gone past your 6 month explant anniversary. Happy anniversary. How are
Thank
you
you.
feeling now?
I'm feeling amazing. I'm the happiest and healthiest I've ever been. And I would say for the minor things, literally an hour after surgery, things disappeared. Other things took, I'd probably say 3 to 4 months. But most of my issues were 90% gone within, I would say, the first 2 months.
And like I've seen on your stories that you're training a lot at the gym at the moment. What kind of stuff have you been able to do since explanting that you probably wouldn't have been able to do before?
Yeah, so I am training a lot because I've recently been struck down with shingles, which some people have said to me it could have been from the thing that we were forced to have over the last 2 years.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And obviously stress, but then other people have said it might be the final shedding from the BII. So there was a lot of factors in that, and I'd put on a lot of weight from the steroids I had for my shingles. I was in hospital and so sick. So I've been boxing and I've been doing a lot of weight training. I find that I have more strength, I have more endurance and stamina, and I can do a lot of chest weights and push-ups and things like that without any pain.
I remember I've never been great at push-ups. Like I probably as a kid, I did karate when I was like a teenager, so I had to do push-ups there. But doing CrossFit, I'd always do push-ups on my knees. My boobs would get in the way, even though mine only were a C cup. But not long before my surgery, I was doing like incline push-ups. So the upper body was inclined, so it was an easier version. And especially my right pec, which is I think where the capsular contracture was at its worst, was quivering. My body just did not want it there, and yeah, it was like just quivering. So I can do pretty much anything now, but yeah, it's such a good feeling being able to do that. And like you said, sometimes being able to train twice a day without being completely fatigued and in a lot of pain. Like, do you find your recovery from workouts is pretty normal now?
Yeah, pretty normal. I pretty much recover straight away. Back in when I had the implants, I remember it would have been late last year, early this year, I did a workout and it literally took me 7 days to recover.
I feel that in my soul. Like I Yeah, I had to quit CrossFit because I was just never recovering from workouts. I'd cut it down. You know, CrossFitters go 5-6 times a week because we're crazy and do like, you know, the full heavy workouts that they do. I had to do 3 times a week. 2 of them were CrossFit. 1 was an Olympic weightlifting, and I still never recovered and was looking at things like nutrition and, you know, whether I was stretching enough. It's known that CrossFitters don't stretch enough, but like, yeah, it just, it was never, I was never feeling 100%. And now, you know, I've done the same. Like there are days where I'll do a spin class at the in the morning, then I'll do leg weights in the afternoon. And then before I go to bed, I'll go for a walk. And that wasn't something I would have been able to achieve in a week close to my X plan. But now it's just like, my God, I've got all this strength, all this recovery. Yeah.
It's crazy. It's so weird how the body responds and how you can have all these changes just from one simple fix.
Definitely. You mentioned before your online business and the Kangen water. Is there like a little bit of information you can share with us about that?
Yeah, I definitely can. So Kangen water is ionized water, which is rich in molecular hydrogen. So a lot of ionizers, you know, it's alkalized water, but the one that I have, which is the Kangen water, is rich in molecular hydrogen, which provides the health benefits, and it produces quite a few different types of water. So I've removed a lot of chemicals, household chemicals. You can use it as a disinfectant, beauty water. You can wash your fruit and veggies to remove pesticides and herbicides, which don't actually come off with normal tap water because they're oil-based. And the pioneer behind the colonoscopy, when people would come and see him with gut issues, he wouldn't perform any surgery unless they had drank Kangen water for 3 months and been on a specific diet, and most of their issues went away. So yeah, it's really, really good for gut health and good for athletes as well. So a lot of the athletes, Tom Brady, Conor McGregor, Steph Curry, even Ali had the water when he was around. So the water is really good for hydration, and that's why it's so good for the gut, so good for the brain, so good, you know, for overall health.
Cool. Beautiful. Thanks for sharing that. If there was one piece of advice that you could go back and give your younger self, what would it be?
It would be to know your worth. So my Instagram page is heavily based on being the best version of yourself and elevating your worth, knowing your self-worth, and never listening to outside sources and seeking external validation. I believe that what makes you beautiful is what you have inside, and the external piece is purely just for looks and aesthetics. You know, you are the most beautiful person inside, and what you can emit, so love and gratitude and things like that. And anybody that makes you believe otherwise, it's just a poor reflection of themselves. And, you know, health is your greatest wealth. And at the end of the day, that's what's going to serve you your longest, not what you look like on the outside.
Absolutely. Thanks for sharing that. So where can our listeners sort of learn more about Kangen water and follow along with your BII explant journey?
So my Instagram page is Elevated Worth Co, and there's all things Kangen water, self-development, mindset, how to be the best version of yourself and seek more, find your passion and your purpose and be the healthiest version of yourself and drink the best water in the world.
Beautiful. I will tag Kara's Instagram in the post when we post about this episode, so you can jump on and get in touch with her if you've got any questions about any of the above. So thanks again for joining us on this Christmas Eve. Merry Christmas, Kara. And thanks for being with us today.
Thank you. And I hope you have a beautiful Christmas too.
Thank you. This podcast shares my own experience and research. I'm not a medical or health professional. You can find me on Instagram at couldbeiipodcast. Thank you to my incredibly talented partner, Jacob Tengdahl, for the intro and outro music. All recording, editing, and artwork is done by me. Thank you for listening.